Richardson. Give him a nice welcome tonight. Amen.
I'm not used to it. But nevertheless, you know, when Pastor asked me to do this, I was, you know, I was really looking forward to it, and I was really blessed by it. But I had no idea that God would, I mean, just literally put this on my heart to preach about. And I'm like, I honestly didn't want to. And this is one of the hardest things there is to preach about. And I'm like, God, you know, Lord, you've given me so much, so many other great messages to preach about. Why this? Why me? I mean, you know, there's like, give it to Pastor. Don't give it to me. But, you know, and I don't know. He just said, do it. Really, it's as you all know, it's really hard to preach the middle of the road. There's no way. It's either, you know, if you get in the middle of the road, you're going to get hit, right? So we all know that sin is a very, very dark thing. And we can all look outside our door. We can look at television. And you know how media can make things, they want you to be in fear. I mean, they literally do. But, I mean, God said that you know, fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. God wants you to fear him in the right way. And we all know that respect is one way. But we all have to realize that sin can keep us out of heaven. Literally, I mean, so I ask God, you know, Lord, how do I preach this? And it really doesn't have to do, it has to do a lot with sin, but it has to do with ourself. And this message, it has to do with facing your giants. And every one of us, and that's what the message is, facing your giants. And are you ready? Are we ready? And if you think about it, when we are first saved, there are three giants going to come after every one of us. Satan is one. The world is the other, and yourself is the third. I mean, think about it. And of the three, I think we all know who the worst is. The toughest one to beat is ourself. And it's proven, it's proof in the Bible that yourself, excuse me. And we're going to go to starting in Genesis chapter 3 to begin with, if y'all want to. Go to Genesis chapter 3, and I want to just show you exactly what I'm talking about. And there are a lot of you seasoned Christians here who know this, but it still needs to be brought out again. So if you think about it, in this message, I want to look at two things. To bring out of this is love and discipline, and you know who likes discipline? Not a human one that I know of, right? None of us like discipline. That's almost like tithing, right? Lucky I didn't say tithing, right? So think about it. Discipline's a tough thing, but without discipline, how can we ever reach who God wants us to be? It's not about who, Lord, help me to be who you want me to be, right? It's about God being through us who we're going to be, right? Because the Bible says that we're to let Christ live through us. He is to live through us. And in order to overcome that, we have to discipline ourselves and love. My goodness, love can be a powerful thing. Love covers a multitude of sin. And we have to think about that. So starting in chapter 3, I want to see something, show you something here. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from the tree in the garden?" You must not eat from any tree in the garden. The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. And you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. and you will not be like, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. So think about that. What is it saying there? When even before she even took part, now this is before sin even come into the world, right? What's the Bible say there? That the serpent, Satan, came to her. First, the three giants that we're looking at here, right? Yourself, Satan, and the world. She lives in a garden. That's her world. That's where it started, right? Satan's there, and then herself, right? Sin had not entered into the world yet until she took part of that fruit. But what's the Bible say? That she saw, right? There's yourself right out of the gate. She saw that it was what? Pleasing to the eye. And then she seen that it was good for food. Hadn't took part yet, right? And that it was what? Good for gain for knowledge. So see, she already, in our, every one of us, have to make a choice. And that is so powerful there. When I seen that, I was like, even before sin came into the world, we already fail ourselves. You know, we already fail. And think about this: when we give our hearts to Christ, that before we receive the Holy Spirit, before we give our hearts to the Lord, we have to make a choice, right? It's either a good choice or a bad choice, right? Think about it. You're living in sin. You haven't received Christ yet. So the first and the biggest thing that we all face is ourself. It isn't Satan. Not that he isn't the one who tempts us through our sin nature now, but sin nature wasn't in the world yet when Eve was tempted there, right? But literally it was her choice. And what's the one thing that God doesn't interfere with? Is our free will. And see, the Bible says that we are all given a measure of faith, right? That is the influence that God has in our hearts, in our spirit. Satan, because of our sin nature now in us, is the influence that he has on us. Correct? Everybody with me still? But he has no control over our free will. God made sure that free will is there and nothing can touch that. And so y'all see what I'm saying? We're our own giants that we have to face. And people say, well, man, I faced 10 giants today. You know what I mean? And a lot of us do, whether it's sickness, someone in the family, something going on there, and you have to pray. And the Bible says anyway to be prayed up. Every single one of us have to be prayed up. So, the more I dove into that, and the more I studied, and I got to reading a lot of the scriptures. Sin can be such, and it is such a powerful thing because of free will. Think about it. Sin can be a powerful thing because of free will. And think about free will. Literally, you know, God wants us to love him unconditionally. Would you marry your wife for your money? Would you want your wife to marry you for your money? Not any of us would want that, right? You want her to love you for who you are. God wants us to love him for who he is. He wants us to trust him. What is our faith if we don't trust what we believe in? And it's nothing. I mean, it's more than just works. I mean, you can have trust and belief in something and not do nothing about it, right? I mean, really, there's a lot of people out there doing just that. But they, you know, we won't go there. So anyway, you know, I feel like it was really hard to preach about that. But until I seen that we have a choice to make, and it's really way before you even think about it, before Satan really has a say so over it. It really is. So, we need to remember when we're reading our scriptures, we need to stop and slow down and take our time. And there was no such thing as trying to hurry up and read the Bible in 1 year. I mean, if you do that, it's like, I mean, it's like your prayer life. If that's how your prayer life is, thinking, Lord, forgive me for my sins, get up and go. Is that all the time we're going to give God? Well, there are people that probably do that. And then when the time comes, they're ready to face their giant. No wonder they fail. And no wonder people sin never really. And I'm not saying that, I'm not going to stand up here and preach that every one of us is going to be able to be perfect. But I'm also not going to preach that we ought not be. Can I say that without me, you know, because really, in God's eyes, he hates sin. He absolutely hates it. As much as he loves us, the Bible says he cannot look upon it. How much do you think he loved Christ, who died on the cross for us, and he had to turn his back on him, the Bible said. He said, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? And then some of us want to continue to live our lives like we do, but we say we give our life to Christ. And then when the time comes, we want to go to heaven. And we're like, Lord, Lord, Lord. And he's going to say, turn away from me. I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. Am I right? That's exactly right. So think about it. The Bible says that every time we sin, we crucify Jesus all over again. All over again. If you sin one time a day, it's 365 times a year, right? I think that's how many days. Close to it. 365 times a day, a year, that we crucify him all over again. Wow, where's our love? I mean, I'm not, you know what I mean? I'm just trying to, this needs to be preached. And it's not that we need to be aware and need to be conscious. The Bible talks about these things. And we're going to read some scriptures here about that. All right? And think about this. If we know we're sinning and we know that it hurts him, how can we say that we truly love him? If we deliberately, and the Bible talks about that in the book of Hebrews, we're going to read that deliberate sin. He cannot forgive that. Think about it. But besides, if we deliberately sin, how are we going to be ready when the time comes? You might say, well, I'm getting there. Well, I'm getting there. How do you know you're going to be there? How do you know he ain't coming tomorrow? What if you're living in that? It's not so much living in it. You know, when Jesus told Mary Magdalene to go and sin no more, you know, think about the lifestyle she was living. But there was more than just an adulterous lifestyle there. There's no doubt she was doing other things that was a sin, right? If she was failing in that area, well, you think she was perfect in everywhere else? I don't think so. So think about that. It doesn't matter if whether you're sinning one time a day. What if you get caught in that moment, in the twinkling of an eye? I mean, we're the light of the world. That's what Pastor Jim said, right? What happens if your light ain't shining when he returns? You know, you were saved. You were called to walk in the light. In 1 John, right, chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. That if anyone who says that they are in the light, but they walk in darkness, you know, God has not word for word there, but y'all know what I'm talking about. They have no fellowship with God. They're a liar. So think about, we need to think about that. And, you know, I really feel like that the message of the gospel is literally watered down. You know, and not every church, I'm not talking about every church, but there's a lot of, you know, I have listened, and I listen a lot because I don't have satellite, but when I have something, when I know something Christian on television or my radio, I listen to that stuff, and I continually read my Bible. And I heard this pastor going on talking about that once you have given your life to Christ, you don't have to repent any more of your sins, that no more confession. It's all over. He died once and for all. Yes, the Bible does say that. But the Bible also says that we must confess our sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive us if we confess them. Right? How do you get around that? But there is a church, a faith-based church is what this church is called, and they're preaching that. Now, if we ain't careful, if we don't live, if we don't preach this too, what about our little ones who follow in our footsteps that might hear that trash, right? That when we're gone, if God tarries and we're done and we don't be who God has called us to be 100% and be a church that is ready for him, right? To be a church that is ready for him. So I just feel like that, you know, that the gospel, you know, they compromise. It's almost like, think about it, it's almost like men want to rewrite the blueprints of the gospel. Amen. You know, they want to make their own blueprint. Well, I tried it your way, Lord, and I'm losing people. I've tried that preaching against the sin thing, and they're just leaving me. So I'm doing my own. I'm gonna do this, and now look, they're coming in left and right, Lord. They're coming in. I'm full again. Yeah, because you use philosophy. You use bring them up, or y'all know what I'm talking about. There's a word for it. I can't think of it, but y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. When you just preach the one thing, I guess the motivation. You know what I mean? Or just continue. And don't get me wrong, I'm not down in grace, not at all, because if it wasn't for grace, none of us would be saved, not a single one of us. But when you just teach that grace allows you to do whatever you want, that's wrong. But there are churches that preach that, and there's two or three on TV. There absolutely is. And I'm wondering, how do they get around some of these other scriptures when they teach that? You're right? So think about when we face our giants. If we face giants and we know Christ, do you think he didn't face them? What happened when he was in the garden praying? The angel had to come and strengthen him, the Bible said. The Bible says that Christ went through it as a man, not as God. He went through what he went through as a 100% man, even though he was still 100% God, but he went through it as a man. He shed his blood and suffered as a man, right? That's a huge giant. Could any of us do that? Any of us? Think about what God, we need to realize that we need to get a kind of a love in us, the kind of love, and if it takes discipline to get that kind of love, right? A kind of love in us that we literally, and the Bible says to be holy. We need to be holy. We need to be a holy men and women. It's beyond being a Christian anymore, because honestly, it looks like it's not working too well for a lot of people. I hate to say it that way, but it really ain't. Why aren't people being healed? Why ain't the Holy Spirit, you know, slaying them all, right? Because I feel that they're just not trusting, they're not loving him and not receiving that. Do you think this stuff is fake that we do up here? That is absolutely as real as can be. That's the Holy Spirit. Where's the Holy Spirit at in every church? They all should be laying in the floor. Amen? Think about it. I just think that we need to really draw near to God, as he says, and I'll draw near to you, and have a love for him that he had for us. I hate to be blunt about it, but how many of us would, if we were told that if we sin one more time, we have to drag our child out back and nail him to a tree? Think about it, right? Not a one of us would want to do that. I couldn't even dare think about that. But Christ did it. God done it for his son. Where is our love, right? And don't get me wrong, folks. We all fail. We all fall short of the glory of God, every single one of us. But the more we start finding this kind of love that God said that we can have, it's in his word, and we draw nearer and nearer to him. You know, especially the young Christians who are starting their walk with the Lord. You know, there ain't no one, I don't know if anyone has failed any more God than this old boy right here. And you know that. But in the last 20 years, they've been with me, but they've seen me come a long way. And now look what the Lord is doing. Man, I don't know. I can't even explain it. But I only know that I'm different. I'm different. I'm different. And I know that it's love. for one thing, but it took discipline to get to where I am. And that's where we need to realize that. And it's scripture too. I read. And I can't iterate how important it is to read. Think about this in Luke 14:26. If y'all can go to Luke 14:26 and read that parable that Jesus is talking about. And for a lot of, especially Christians who are just starting their walk, when Jesus said that we're to hate our mother and our father and our children, that's not what that actually means, okay? You know, I mean, you got to think about it. A lot of this is metaphor as well, okay? But in other words, our love for Jesus Christ should be way beyond anything that we can pour out into each other. So you think about this. I want you to, you don't have to turn here, but if you take that scripture and go all the way to Revelations in chapter 2 when Jesus said that you lost your first love. Remember this? He said, I have somewhat odd against you because you've lost your first love. How is it that we can forget when we came to Christ and that feeling that we had, that in our brokenness, we were so broken. Lord, change my life, save me. And then all of a sudden, 5, 6, 7 years down the road, we're kind of back into some of the stuff we used to be doing. Or we actually forget what happened to that feeling. It's like a new love when you first get married and so forth, right? Y'all remember, some of y'all remember those days, right? And it's that you don't even want to be apart. You can't wait to get home. You drive, you almost break the law just to get home. You remember that, right? Why don't we feel that way for Jesus? And then beyond that, because I tell you, that's the kind of love that covers a multitude of sin, right? Because if you love something that much, if you love Jesus that much, you won't want to sin. It keeps you from, it doesn't mean you're not going to fall, all right? It doesn't mean that you're not going to mess up, but it just keeps you. You understand what I mean by it keeps you? You know, it guards your heart. Love guards your heart, and in turn, it guards your actions. How many of us in here want to allow our sin nature to dictate our actions, to dictate how we act? Any of us? I know I don't, and I've made my mind up not to allow my sin nature, the darkness that I know that the Bible says is in us all, to control my life. Amen. I have made my mind up. And God has, not David, God has done a work in me. But I had to make a choice. Remember what I said in here? We read that. Eve made a choice. It was the wrong choice. Look at us all now. Right? So think about it. You have to make a choice. And really it starts with deciding to love Jesus with all that you are. And how do you get there? You have to discipline yourself. You have to make yourself stop doing whatever it is. If you have an addiction, how did you get that addiction? When you, not to, but you used to, I smoked enough to freight, like a freight train. But how did you, when you first took that puff, I guarantee you, you like to cough and gagged your head off. And you said, shut up, take it, you just shut up, right? Well, you need to do the same way when you quit. You need to make yourself quit. How much do you love Christ? Because I promise you, whatever you're living in the end of this thing, he could return any moment. Yes, you are saved. If you receive Christ, I have no doubt, because the Bible says, anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All right? But what if at the time, in that moment, in the twinkling of an eye, you're living in your sin nature, you're doing something that is a sin? How can Christ see your light? When he said that we are the light of the world. When you sin, you put your light out. Okay? Think about it. If you keep reading in that Revelation chapter 2, Jesus said, I will come quickly and take your lampstand away. Why? Because you're back to the way you were. He said, come back. Come back. Yeah. Right? So think about that. Man, it is in God's word. And there are so many other scriptures. Even though, you know, a lot of people live by, if you remember when Paul said this in Romans chapter 7, that which I do, I shouldn't, but that which I should do, that I don't. You can't live by that. You cannot live by that because there are so much more in here that tells you you still need to walk away from the who you used to be. And if you'll keep reading, you'll see the progression that Paul made, because he is also the same one that said in Galatians 5:16 that if you live by the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Think about that. So why is it that we allow sin? Why do we let sin or use ourselves to be conduit into the world? Right? When we sin, think about it, we're just being an avenue for the darkness. Ain't we got enough darkness? Look at the world. I mean, I'm sick and tired. You know, I got to the point where I was so sick and tired of sinning and calling myself a holy man and calling myself a son of God. I got to the point, and listen, I'm not still going to stand here and say that I don't mess up sometimes. I may go down the road and look down, I'm doing 85. Not literally, I'm just, y'all know what I mean. Because we are to obey the laws too. God said, the Word of God says that. But y'all know what I mean. And you know, and our thoughts. Man, where's the battle? Where is our biggest fight is right here. Think about it. But listen, that's because of our sin nature that's in us. But just because the thought is here, is Satan making you manifest that sin just because you thought about it? Right? Y'all know what I mean by bringing it to life. Just because it's a thought doesn't mean you have to act on it. The Bible says to capture your thoughts, cast them down. Amen, right? So why is it that it's okay? There's a lot of people who've, and it's being preached, that it's okay, do what you want. You're saved once you receive Christ. Once saved, always saved. Don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to bash no churches here. But if we're going to be a church who is ready for God, when he returns, we need to love him. First and foremost, we need to love him in order to walk in the ways, right, in his ways. The Bible says that God's will for us is to live in the Spirit. It's in the Bible. His will for us is to live in the Spirit. We are to live in the Spirit. And when Paul said in Galatians 5:16, if we live in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay? The lust of the flesh is it's like this. If you have a thought, if you think about losing 10 pounds, you ain't going to lose that 10 pounds unless you do something about it. Right? If you act on it. Just because you thought about losing it don't mean you're going to. Amen? So just because you think about it, or the Satan throws a stumble and throws something into your mind, it doesn't mean you have to act on it. You have to stop and wait a minute and say, Lord, do I love you? Or am I going to click on that rated R show? Or am I going to click on that awful stuff on the computer that I ought not be looking at? Amen. Think about it. People walk out of these movie videos with rated R movies in their hands, right? And a lot of them do. And they call themselves Christians. And I'm going to be the first one to admit to that right here, but long time ago. But I called myself a Christian. And I don't mean the filthy, but I'm talking about anything rated R. It had cursing in it and stuff. I like a lot of action movies. But I got to the point where if it's rated R, action or not, I don't watch it. I don't rent it. I'm done. Because I'm not going to sit and say and call myself a man of God and bring darkness through my front door. I'm not going to do it. Sin is sin. Doesn't matter how you look at it. Right? All right, I want to look at 1 John. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Now, some of y'all have the different translation, but I have the NIV, so I'll be reading out of it. Starting in verse 5. Now, this is very powerful. And watch how this ends, because it ends with love. But this is a very powerful very powerful passage here. 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 5. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins. And in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. Do you hear that? Amen. That's the word of God, not David. Not David, that's the word of God. Keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. I'm not trying to lead anyone astray. I'm just reading exactly what the word says out of the NIV here. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous. Now think about that. He who does what is right. What? And look what Eve done. She had a choice to do what was right or what was wrong, right? So think about that. He who does what is right. It's just a question, a choice of, are we going to choose to do what's right? Are we going to continue to live in sin? For those of us who can't seem to get a hold on sin that's in our life, that may not be all of us, but there may be someone in here who is struggling. And these words, this scripture, can bring that. You know, a lot of people talk about that that conviction shouldn't be, right? That why you God don't want you to feel guilty. Well, how are we going to learn, huh? God chastised his children, right? We spank our children when they do wrong. How are we ever going to learn if the Spirit of God doesn't convict us? And we get somber. We're like, Lord, forgive me. We get on our knees. You know how many times I've gotten on my knees and got on my face for the last 25 years? Right? Amen. Amen. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Thank you, Lord. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right. See, there's that word again. What is right? Making the right choice. That's why I love this passage. It really goes with what I'm talking about here, right? It's our choice to make the right choice to begin with. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. So think about that. Love his brother. It ended with love his brother. Love is such a powerful thing. And it starts with loving Christ. We have to fall in love with Jesus again. If you've slid away, or if you've, you know, something is, you know, you just don't, Lord, you get home tonight and you ask God, Lord, help me, draw me near to that again. Help me to find that I had once before. It doesn't mean that you're not walking in the Lord. But where's that? What about that special feeling? You know, even if you have to ask him again every day, Lord, I want that feeling every day. Amen. You know that feeling when pastor's up here and he prays over you and you just, it's over. Man, I want that feeling every day that I can feel that. Amen. Anywhere and everywhere I go. If I walk by somebody, boom, they just fall. Amen. I mean, think about it. That I pray for that. I literally pray for that. That I would just shine anywhere I go. Amen. And not that I get anything out of that, but God gets the glory. Amen. So that people can see that his light is in this world. Right? Because we have too much darkness. Look out there. Look out there. You know, Jesus taught in Matthew 24, And he went on and talked in both parables about the thief, about the thief, right? And a master who knows that the thief is coming of his own home will wait up and watch, right? He will wait up and watch. And then he went on and talked about the 10 virgins, right? Well, we got to think about this. Why were 5 of them left? And only 5 of them got to go in, and the door was shut on the other 5. We need to realize what that's saying. I'm not going to stand up here and say that I know exactly, and somebody else may know and feel that it's a little bit different, okay? That's why I'm not going to stand and myself and try to say that I know that I've got that exactly right, okay? All I know is what that's telling me is we need to be ready, okay? Period. We just need to be ready. And facing our giants, our giant biggest one is us. If we're not ready when this thing happens, when them heavens open up and the glory of God is shown, if you're doing something wrong, in other words, if you're caught up in sin, I'm not going to tell you what's going to happen. That's between you and God. Okay? But all I know is this old boy is going to be ready. Okay? And I pray that this church is ready. And you know what? I'm speaking it. I'm believing it. I'm going to profess it. That I know what God is doing in this church. I have seen it. I feel that. I have absolutely seen it. I'm just going to say it. I know that we got it right. I know we've got it right. God ain't going to do anything for someone who don't got it right. You understand what I'm trying to say there? That doesn't mean that God won't bring a sinner to be saved. Y'all know what I mean. They don't have it right yet. That's not what I mean. But there are those out there who are against God no matter what. He ain't going to help them. He will not help those, right, that are just going to turn away, that he already knows that didn't want nothing to do with him. That's what I'm talking about. We don't know who they are, but they're out there. They're out there. That's what I mean by that, okay? Not everyone, but the Bible, it's clear that not all will be saved. He said that, right? The gate is narrow to the pathway to righteousness, but the pathway, the gate to destruction is wide, and many will travel it. Many will travel it, right? But turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Starting in verse 1. You remember I mentioned it, Christ sacrificed once and for all, right? I believe I mentioned that. It might have been when I was over studying. I said it to myself. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. Excuse me. So you see, by the same sacrifice, endlessly, year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. If it could, would they not have stopped being offered? So think about that. I mean, we can't continue to think that we can sacrifice Jesus Christ over and over and over and over. You see what I'm saying? It doesn't make us, in other words, it's not going to change a thing. Right? It's not going to make anything any more perfect. For he died once for all. Now turn to verse 12. I think it's Yeah. Verse 12 through 14. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. We all know who that is. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool, because by one sacrifice, he has made perfect. Did y'all hear that word? He has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Right there it is. We are made perfect in Christ. We're not perfect, but it's the work that he is doing in us, so that when the time comes, when we have to be that holiness that he is making through us. And if we continue to, every time a person sins, it's like rebellion against him. It's almost like he has to start all over again, right? So we just need to realize and stop saying, well, I ain't perfect. Well, I'm not Jesus. You know what? We got to shake that stuff off. Because if it ain't about you being Jesus, it's about Jesus being in you. Am I right? The Bible says that he is to live through us. When you say, well, I ain't Jesus, well, maybe you don't have him in you. I do. Right? Think about it. We just need to let him live through us. Because right there is proven, not David's word, but that's God's word. Right? Now jump down to verse 26. I was going to save this because, but for the sake of time, we may not, yeah. But anyway, jump down to verse 26. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth. Listen at that. This is very, very important and very powerful. No sacrifice for sins is left. That's God's word, not David. No sacrifice for sin. I said that earlier before we even started reading God's word here. I said that. There is no sacrifice left, but only a fearful. And remember, when I said that, I'm not going to tell you where you're going. What God, that's between you and God, but this is God's word. Except, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Man, I'm going to love the Lord. I'm going to love him with all that I am, and I'm going to get my act straight. Every day when I wake up in the morning, I'm going to put my feet on the ground, and I'm going to thank God first of all. And you know what? I do that because I spend my first hour. The Bible talks about it, and you can read it, that our first offerings is to go to God. That don't just mean money. In fact, God would rather have our praises and us over anything else. Our sacrifice. In fact, he said that to David, did he not? What's more important, sacrifice or y'all know? I can't remember exactly what he was saying to him, but I think y'all know what I'm talking about, right? God said sacrifice, right? So we're to give him everything first. God is one; he wants to be first, and that proved that when y'all read 14:26, right? That we are to love him so much that we hate anything else. But he doesn't literally mean a word to hate our mother. I love my mama more than, a lot. Not more than God, but I love her, I say more than anything, but as a fleshly man, I love her more than anything. Next to my children, you know what I'm saying? It's hard to say I love one. Because I would give my life for either one. But, I would give my life for God. And I am giving my life for God. Why? Because he gave his life for me. So I lay down everything that I am because he laid down everything that he was in order for I would have life. I can't wait. Hallelujah. I can't wait to get there. I know the Bible says that we aren't be anxious about anything, But, I can't wait. I think he's okay with that, don't you all? Yeah, hallelujah. I think he's okay with that. Absolutely. Yes. Now, jump over to chapter 12. These are powerful scriptures. These are very powerful scriptures when it comes to fighting sin, okay? And I don't mean to hang on sin here, but we are our own giant. We're our own enemy. Think about that. Satan can only influence us through our sin nature, but he can't make us sin because we have free will. God didn't give him dominion over that. God don't even have dominion over it. Not that he can't, because he can do whatever he wants. Amen? But God chose that so that we would come to him freely, so that we would love him unconditionally. If you think you're going to be a robot when you get to heaven or some kind of brainwashed, changed being, holy, no, no. We're got to be prepared so when that time comes, ready for heaven. Otherwise, why did any of this suffering matter? Why does any of the suffering matter if God's going to change us anyway? To be some kind of, are y'all understanding what I'm trying to say? No. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. We've got to be ready for that place. The angels had choice, and so will we. God wants us to be up there worshiping him and loving him, not arguing down here over what song to sing. Well, I ain't getting nothing out of that. Well, you know what? Close your eyes and just raise your hands. You know? Right? Let's just worship him and love the man next to you so that the love of God can be shown. You know, the more you love them, the more it's easier to love Jesus. Even when they don't love you, love them anyway. Just because every perfect thing isn't made decision, you know what? God's the one in control no matter what. So let God handle that. We're not to fuss and argue over those things. Not at all. Pray about it. Let God lead the leaders, right? And you pray for the leaders, right? And then let God work in you. Not you try to, I know y'all know what I'm talking about. We ought to just be who God wants us to be. So love and discipline, right? Love really, think about it, creates faith. You see what I'm saying? Because faith is what is the foundation of what we believe in, right? But the more that you love, what's that do to your faith? Yes. And Jesus made it very clear. Now all this pertains to the giant that's inside us. I hope you all understand what I'm... This is the main thing here, okay? Because, look, none of us, we're sin nature. We don't want to love. We'd rather be rebellious. You know, no rules. I want to do what I want. That's who we pretty much are. And if you look out there, a lot of them are doing just that. And, you know, God will deal with that. But we're to pray for them, right? So, turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. In verse 6, starting in verse 6. I'll be closing with this. I got y'all give me 10 minutes. As pastor would say. Oh no, I know. Oh, y'all caught that. For this is the reason the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to men in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. Live according to God in the spirit, right? Because the dead, that's, you know, we're not going to go there, but y'all know what I mean. The dead don't live by the spirit. A man of God lives by the spirit. A man and woman live by the spirit so that they can be led. And the more you love Jesus, the easier it is to live by the Spirit. Try living by the Spirit without loving Jesus. Good luck with that. Think about it. It's going to be very hard because you're going to continue to battle something that you might have faith. But what is your grounds? What holds you to that? It's almost like this. When you got married, you gave up your single life, right? How many of you would continue? How long would you be married if you continued that single life? How long would your marriage last? Jesus said, we are the bride of Christ. Am I right? You have to give up your single ways. Absolutely. Or you're not, your marriage ain't going to last very long. Think about that. I know that's a metaphor, but it's the same thing. You got to give up the way you used to be. Every one of us. We have to give up the way we used to be. So what I want to do, it's in 1 John chapter 5, because what I wanted to tie in with Hebrews chapter 12. But closing with this, go to 1 John chapter 5. Verses 16 through 20. And I want to show y'all something. This is powerful. I just, this was a couple of days ago. Still struggling with God to preach this message because of just the idea of it. If anyone sees his brother commit a sin that does not lead to death. What do you mean lead to death? He should pray and God will give him life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death. I am not saying that he should pray about that. All wrongdoing is sin, and there is sin that does not lead to death. And there's a lot of people that, you know, I'm one of them at one time struggled with that because I couldn't, what do you mean? Sin is sin. There, you mean there's sin that doesn't lead to death? According to God's word. But you gotta think about that. What's unconfessed sin? If you do not confess your sin according to God's word, you can't be forgiven for that. Right? So think about it. There is sin that doesn't lead to death as long as it's covered by the blood of Christ. As long as you confess it, repent of it, and ask, you're asking Christ to forgive you. That's what I'm getting out of this. Okay? That's what I get out of that. This is what I really wanted you to see, though. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps himself safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. We know that we are children of God, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us, you hear that? You got the whole world who's controlled by Satan, but now you got the Son of God who has come and given us understanding. You see that word? Understanding, so that we may know him who is true. And we know what's truth, right? Every one of us. So you can't say, well, Lord, I didn't know. Or you can't sin and act like you didn't sin or try to hide it. You see what I mean? You can't, in other words, you can't sin and say that you didn't or you accidentally sinned. Every one of us have understanding what sin is. You can't, you see what that's saying? Jesus gave us understanding of what sin is. Excuse me. And we are in him who is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ, who is the true God and eternal life. Now think about this. Now I want you to flip back. Remember this word understanding. God has come and has given us understanding, right? Flip back to Hebrews 10 real quick, and we're going to close. Hebrews 10 and verse 26 again. What is understanding? It's knowledge, right? Understanding is knowledge. So I want you to see that. Hebrews 10, 26. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge. There it is. You see what I'm saying? We have received the knowledge. Those two, they go hand in hand. You can't deny that. After we have received the knowledge, no sacrifice for sins is left. None. We have to get a hold on sin. If we don't, Jesus said, and we're going to close, Jesus said that I will come like a thief in the night. We have to be prepared. So which one of us is going to be ready? All of us? I pray that we are, every single one of us. That every time, every day, every morning we wake up, that we put our feet on that floor knowing that Satan is going to come straight after you. And listen, every one of us, some of us face horrible giants, okay? We do, and I know that. Some of us face giants that I've never faced in my life, okay? But listen, God overcome the world. Jesus Christ overcome the world, okay? Satan has come to kill, steal, and destroy, okay? But think about this. The Bible says that he who hates this world, he who hates it shall gain his life everlasting. And anyone that loves this world will lose his life. So I don't care who you are, where you go, in the aspect of this, think about this thing. There are people that we lose. How do we know what happened? They could have just been, you know, they hated this life. But they didn't hate it to the point that they didn't love us, those that they, y'all with me, and they understood and they love God. But they hated this life. So who knows what Jesus does with that, right? Y'all understand what I'm saying? My son-in-law, he gave his life 1 year and a day prior to the day he was killed. And yes, he was out there doing some of the things he ought not do. But the day before that, he had given my daughter a tract, which told me, he gave her a tract about, you know, if you died today, where would you go? Okay? So I have no doubt that Christ was still in his heart. You with me? The fact is, it isn't about in the moment of death. Because remember, there's no time in death to God. But in the twinkling of an eye, that's different when he returns. Y'all understand what I'm saying? It's different when he returns. What are we going to be doing? Where are we going to be at? If we're in the middle of committing sin in our life and he returns in that moment, how are we going to have the time to say, Lord, forgive me. I repent. Not going to happen. Why? Because the twinkling of an eye is a much, much quicker. Jesus said, I come swiftly. Come back now. Before it's too late in Revelation 2. Come back to your first love. The one that you felt. You felt something for me then. Where is it at now? Why is it that you are allowing this thing that's holding on to you to not let go of it? Do you not love me more than anything else that was in this world, that is in this world? You've got to love me first, and I will heal everything that is wrong. I'll heal it all. But you got to love me. He said, you got to love me. Well, let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this word. Lord, I know there's no doubt that many of us face giants that are so hard to overcome. But Jesus, you overcome the world, and you said, fear not. So we have to remember that. We cannot fear. We cannot fear that which is physical, that is seen. We have to be prepared. And it's almost like we have to, you know, not that we fear you, but we have to have that weightiness about us, what we're doing and where we're going in that moment, in that twinkling of an eye. Father, teach us how to love you. put you first in everything that we are, so that if we love you first, Father, the things that we know that are in this life, that are in this world, when we face the giants that come our way, we can't overcome them. Because it's you in us that live through us that overcomes it. It just happens. And that is a promise that you've given us. So teach us how to love you, Lord, so that we can walk in the Spirit. We love you, Father. Thank you for your many blessings. Be with us as we close, Lord, as we go about our separate ways. And we thank you, Father, for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen and amen. Thank you, Lord.